The Oakland A's have not trademarked the name Las Vegas A's, and a fan group that is helping the efforts to block their funding in Las Vegas is trying to claim that trademark. Plus, the Caitlin Clark effect is already hitting the WNBA. Dude Perfect secured over $100 million, and we're catching up with Dustin Johnson ahead of the Masters. It's Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Owen Poindexter, and this is Front Office Sports Today. Joined now by Brian Johansson, co-owner of The Last Dive Bar, which is a small business that celebrates Oakland, the Coliseum, and the A's community, and donates money to local causes. Welcome, Brian.
What's going on, Owen? Glad to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. So you guys trademarked the name Las Vegas A's, possibly before the A's got around to that. What was the motivation behind that move?
Yeah, so we're pretty notorious for like getting URLs and stuff like that, that, you know, making fun of certain things and everything and redirecting, you know, people to, you know, like different websites and stuff like that. But with this one, we got actually DM'd by a guy, A's fan by the name of Coliseum Sewage. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Hey guys, there's no trademark for Las Vegas exactly. Athletics," and our eyebrows raised. And so we instantly went, investigated, found that there wasn't. There's actually two current open like trademarks, but they went dead. So from a different guy that's not associated with the A's. And so we filed, it got approved, and now it's currently in review and processing.
And when are you gonna find out the fate of that one?
So in March, when it got approved to basically be reviewed, it says 8 months. So probably around September, we'll know. And we wanted to keep it a secret, but with the filing of the Sacramento A's and Athletics by the A's, that led to some people, you know, uncovering it. So Tony Fry of the Hero Habit, he's the one that basically broke the story that we had filed for. So at that point, we were like, okay, we got to kind of come out and say that, yeah, we did.
You also recently began selling wristbands that say, "I stand with Oakland." And you had people buying these from across the country. It wasn't just a local thing. What do you think about the sort of the long-term impact of like all the, you know, the bad vibes around this move and how it's going to impact how people see the A's, but also like baseball?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was pretty crazy. I mean, it was kind of springboarded off of the entire wristband hysteria that Wristband Gate caused. And so we wanted to pivot that and do something that was obviously more meaningful than potentially a player getting sent down for wearing one. So we created those wristbands and in less than 20, you know, in less than 2 days, you know, we got over $10,000, made a donation to schools over stadiums, which was matched to 20K. But really that wristband is symbolic, right? It's symbolic of what the fans are currently having to go through, being extorted for public funds and having to pay for billionaire stadiums. And so it's a way to stand up to that. And what we really hope that this kind of turns into is other fan bases, right, potentially going through similar circumstances, you know, we could put, "I stand with Chicago," mm-hmm. and whatever group out there is fighting to block public funds for stadiums or relocation, we can then redirect those proceeds to those fan bases and those communities and, you know, start fighting back against these owners and MLB, you know. It's not right what they're doing. Everybody on a national level agree with that. And so we have to do something as fans, and the way to do that is through litigation and through actually fighting back against these owners and MLB.
How are you approaching this season that's, you know, already begun but has many months to go?
Yeah, you know, I think that's like a two-part answer. Like, really, there's like the answer from a Last Dive Bar perspective where, like, we are running a business. We are putting out a narrative and trying to support the narrative. And their narrative is the truth of what we're actually going through and fighting against a billionaire. So that keeps us pretty focused and keeps our minds, like, kind of directed, you know, on that. But on a personal level, like as a fan growing up to going to the Coliseum since the early 80s, like it's heartbreaking, right? It's heartbreaking because the way this relocation, the way they're dragging the fans through the mud, the way there's just no thoughts whatsoever about how the fans feel and everything. I mean, you look at the tweet that they put out celebrating the fans, the employees, and, you know, that's what they're going to use this year for. And they're going to give us a little fake stadium at the last game of the year. And it's like, look what you did to the fans. Look what you're doing to the employees. You're not even utilizing the employees going forward. You're going to lay off everybody. You know, what are you actually honoring? And so that's like the most gutting thing is just how spiteful the A's front office is going about this relocation and how there's no regard whatsoever about how they're actively hurting the fan base. They're hurting baseball. You know, that's hurtful. You know, that's hurtful for a fan like myself and others that have invested so much of their time, money, energy, love into this to where it's like, this is like a piece of your family, you know what I mean? And you're watching your family member actively try to kill you and hurt you, you know, and then wants to say, and then come watch us in Sacramento kill you even more. It's like, it's crazy. There's not words really to put into perspective what they're doing to the fans, like how evil it is.
This is not something that's going to go away quickly because we're going to have to watch this team every night.
What Oakland fans did is they changed the narrative, and they basically changed the narrative to where now every single sports team is talking about against this, against the owners and against the treatment of fans. They can't escape this. This is going to follow them everywhere they go. And accountability is going to be talked about, as you see, on a national level from broadcasters across all teams, because it's not right. And they've been exposed and they're going to continue to be exposed. And last sidebar, we're going to support every fan base that's going through this, because if the A's leave, we got all the bandwidth in the world. Hopefully it leads to an actual seat at the table of fan representation. You know what I mean? That's ultimately like a pie in the sky type dream, is what if the fans themselves had a say in these decisions that were being made, similar to what you see in Europe with soccer.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be really interesting. Brian Johansson, thanks so much for joining us.
All right.
Caitlin Clark is not officially a member of the Indiana Fever, but given that she just broke every college basketball points record and helped break many viewership records while she was at it, it's a very poorly kept secret that she will be selected by the Fever with the first overall pick at Monday's WNBA draft. In fact, this pick is so obvious that the Phoenix Mercury put out a social post advertising their game against the Fever, calling it the Goat versus the Rook. The Goat is Diana Taurasi, and the Rook is displayed as a silhouette of a player who happens to wear number 22, which, yes, is Caitlin Clark's number. Clark's impending arrival is also already visible in the secondary ticket market a month out from the season. Perusing SeatGeek, the lowest prices you can find for most WNBA tickets range from $10 to $40 for most games, with the occasional exception, such as the Fever's games in New York on May 18th, in Phoenix on June 30th, and in Los Angeles on May 24th. Those tickets start respectively at $110, $128, and $150. Caitlin Clark is boosting the WNBA before she even gets there. Dude Perfect has pulled off its biggest trick shot yet. The quintet of YouTube stars has secured an investment from Highmount Capital in excess of $100 million. That could fund some very elaborate videos, but Dude Perfect has aspirations beyond that medium. They are already working on a new headquarters in Frisco, Texas, where they will lean into their blend of sports-adjacent content creation. ESPN has a 30 for 30 documentary coming out on them later this month. They did a Thursday Night Football altcast on Amazon, and with the fresh capital, they want to do more live events and roll out more products. With 60 million subscribers on YouTube, Dude Perfect has more subscribers on that platform than the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, and MLS combined. Now they have the funds to match. Up next, Dustin Johnson is chasing his second Masters victory, but this time he's doing so under the banner of LIV Golf. My colleague David Rumsey caught up with Johnson on what it's been like playing under LIV's schedule, how he's prepping for the Masters, and his thoughts on the future of golf. That conversation is next.
We are here with Dustin Johnson, a two-time major champion, including the 2020 Masters, in addition to another couple dozen victories around the world, most recently at LIV Golf Las Vegas in February. That last part is particularly notable because we are also joined by Chris Rosasson, the new general manager of Dustin's LIV Golf team, the Four Aces. Dustin and Chris, thanks for chatting. How are you both doing?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having us.
So, guys, typically a team GM is the player's boss, but DJ, I know you have some equity in Four Aces. So what are the power dynamics here? Who is actually who's boss?
That's a great question.
That's a good question. We do a good job of working together.
Let's cut to the chase. He's the boss.
Yeah, okay. I just don't want to say that. But no, we're a good team. I feel like, you know, we work together very well. Chris is very smart. He's very good at what he does. And, you know, he's been a great addition to the team, and I'm very happy to have him, you know, to do all the things that I don't want to do, where I can just focus on golf. So it's been great, you know, working with Chris. And, yeah, it's, you know, he does a great job running things. I don't have to do too much.
So, Chris, I know when fans think of a GM of a sports team, they think of draft picks and player contracts and things like that, but LIV teams are fairly new. Team golf is new in itself. So, Chris, what exactly are you doing as the general manager?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I mean, right now, I think that what you just talked about there, that's coming down in the future. Right now, we're trying to establish this as a, you know, as a true sports franchise. So, you know, creating its own look, its identity. You know, if you look in basketball, there's the Los Angeles Lakers and there's the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're going to attract two different types of sponsors. Two different types of looks. So really trying to establish that with the Aces, and then also go out there and try to monetize this team as well by finding the right sponsors to get behind it and, you know, looking what things look like 3 to 5 years down the road.
When we're talking about LIV teams, DJ, Chris, I know the vision for LIV teams is pretty high, right? I think captains own 25%. The league owns the other 75%. There's, you know, hope for some really high valuations. So at the same time, what conversations have you both had with potential investors or sponsors or other parties involved looking to get involved with the Four Aces?
The reaction right now has been very good. I mean, people are excited about it. This is a, you know, potential for something that's never been done in golf before. So right now, you know, a few weeks into the job, feedback's been great. We will be hopefully announcing a couple big sponsors here in the next couple weeks.
Chris, what kind of potential do you see? If you can expand on that a little bit, what if it's next year or 5 years down the road, what do you think the business of a LIV golf team could look like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way it needs to be set up is the franchise needs to support itself and be profitable. So it's a, you know, combination of bringing sponsors in, the apparel and merchandise portion of it, which is my background, is bringing that in revenue from there, and then, you know, how the team plays as well. So, you know, there's been a lot of speculation and talks of what things could look like 5-10 years down the road where teams could have their own home course. So then you'd be able to monetize ticket sales, food and beverage, et cetera. But, you know, right now we're on the new frontier of what golf looks like. So, but, you know, the ultimate goal is having it operate like a traditional sports franchise like NFL, NBA, MLB.
And do you think it could get to a point where there was more revenue coming in from things that it's not prize money as opposed to kind of the model that it is right now where a lot of that prize money is funding operations?
100%. I mean, that's my vision for it and why I would, you know, when Dustin had talked to me about doing this, why I jumped on board. I see it as a huge opportunity. You know, we're, you know, if you're a golf fan, traditionally you have one player and, you know, you're excited about them. You have four guys playing and the exposure, you know, for a sponsor, my pitch is you're going out and you're getting four for the price of one. So you get four guys that are going to be on TV consistently, four different personalities to go out there and market. And in some of the, you know, sponsors that I've been talking to now.
Not including all the people that are at work for the team.
Yeah.
So you got, you know, all kinds of coverage. You know, I think, yeah, it's a different aspect of golf. I think it's going to be great. And, you know, it could be great. And it is, and it's going in that direction.
Yep. And Dustin, you mentioned Chris is going to be doing all the things that you don't want to do or you don't have time to do. Was that really taking up a lot of your time over these past couple years?
I mean, I've got good people that, you know, we have a good team around us. So, yeah, I mean, probably a little more time than I would like to have been putting into it. But, you know, where I could have focused a little more on golf. But, you know, that's part of life and it's part of starting a new venture. You know, like, I mean, we're still a startup, you know, if you think about it. It hadn't even been 2 full years yet. So, We're kind of just getting into this, and I think it's got potential to be fantastic, and that's kind of why Chris came on board, is to try to help us get to where we think we can go.
And Dustin, you have really committed to the Four Aces brand. Obviously, you had a long-term partnership with Adidas previously that ended last year. I know we can't predict what the powers that be will end up deciding or working out for the future of professional golf, but what do you personally want to see team golf be, no matter what happens with LIV, PGA Tour, and everything there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really cool, part of golf. Like, this is just a new, if you think about like college golf, it's so much fun, being a part of a team. It's a lot of fun, and it brings a different aspect to the game. But I think, in the future, we got to incorporate, the team versus also like, putting in, where, whether it's LIV, PGA Tour, all the best players in the world maybe play together a little bit more than just the four majors. There's people, obviously, like you said, the powers that be that are working on this. I'm pretty sure they got something that, or some idea of how that's going to look, and what could happen. Just because I think for the game of golf, it would be much better. But I think the team aspect that LIV has created, that's not going to go anywhere. I could just see maybe, a few more events maybe around the world or U.S. where all the guys get together and play. It would be my kind of, if I could predict what was going to happen, or if it was me that was making the decision, that's how I think it would look.
And when I look at LIV, I'm just curious. I know that the league kind of takes its some inspiration from Formula One, right? Being a global tour and all of that. And in Formula One, a lot of the drivers don't really like each other. I'm curious, are there any rivalries starting to form between players? Because you are on different teams. You're not just competing against each other, I'm just curious.
Anytime you got 52 guys or whatever it is, you're not going to like everyone. So... it's just part of life. It's just, there's definitely is some, there's always going to be, and there's even some teams that there's guys on the team that might not even like each other. So, but we won't say any names, but yeah, I mean, that's just, but it's in every sport, like, whatever sport you look at, when you're on a team, you've got different personalities, they could definitely clash. So, could cause some issues, but we got a great team. I'm really really happy with my team. We need to play a little bit better on Sundays, but other than that, all the guys are great, and I really enjoyed spending a lot of time with them.
LIV is still young, like you mentioned, and it's sorting out players and contracts and what it's going to look like. We were talking earlier about how there might be more like player movement. Is that something you guys talk about together, about evaluating your team, evaluating other players, or even outside of LIV for who's going to be on the team to perform the best? Or is that too much in season to think about?
No, well, we can't do anything in season. So once the season's over, that's when those kind of conversations happen. I wouldn't mind seeing where we have like a trade deadline, kind of like where the rest of the leagues do, where, maybe through the first four or five events, like you could still kind of trade or, have some player movement. I think it would add some more excitement. Obviously, we haven't really talked about that, but, right now we have a short window of when you can trade or pick up or new players. But yeah, like I said, like all the other sports, there's a deadline, and it's usually in season where you can still have some player movement. I just think it would add some more excitement. And yeah, I think it could be a cool aspect that they could add to it.
And Chris, you mentioned your background prior to this. You came from Travis Matthew and the clothing apparel industry. How does that translate to what you're going to be doing for the Four Aces, and what are maybe some of the challenges for you outside of that as far as evaluating players or things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, we're building a brand just like building a brand with an apparel company. Or, back to what I talked to before, it's, the look, the feel, and also the players that are on there. Listen, there's going to be a combination of talent. We need a team that can go out there and win, but we also need a marketable team to be able to attract the right type of sponsors. So I think that's where Dustin and I are going to work together if there are going to be trades in the future, on weighing the positives and negatives of somebody that comes in that's a really good player but might not be able to attract sponsors, and somebody that attracts a lot of sponsors but might not be able to contribute as well to all four scorers on Sunday. So that's what actually what really excites me, is trying to find that perfect mix. And
Chris has been around the game of golf for a long time. He can play a little bit, so he knows what he's doing when it comes to – he can definitely tell if a player has talent or not or would be a good fit. But, yeah, we'll definitely work together on those decisions.
Gotcha. Yeah, and just as we're sitting here talking, I'm curious of just the challenges of Liv's disruption in the space. I mean, traditional golf apparel deals. Like, we're looking at you, Dustin. You have the Four Aces shirt on and a TaylorMade hat on, and I believe the rest of your team is pretty much all decked out in Four Aces. Chris, how do you deal with trying to figure out what that team image is going to look like, because golf has kind of operated in its own ecosystem for so long with just individuals?
Yeah, I mean, right now we have some sponsorships that are still intact from, you know, a few years back. Going forward, I would see it. I really like the Formula One model, where it's, you know, we might be able to get some of these OEMs to come on and, you know, have a team TaylorMade that would be, you know, and then Team Callaway, et cetera. If that's going to happen, we don't know. But yeah, I think that trying to find the right sponsors that fit the look and feel for the Four Aces is going to be very important. We're not just going to take a big paycheck for somebody that isn't on brand with who we feel that we are.
All right, well, guys, this has been great. We'll finish up with a quick little lightning round for Dustin here before we let you out of here. Dustin, what's your I know you've only been at a couple Masters Champions dinners so far, but what's your go-to drink order of those?
Water. I might have a little glass of wine if it's a good one, but it's Masters week. It's, you know, Tuesday before, so, you know, I might have one glass, but I don't drink during golf weeks, during tournament weeks.
Has anybody's meal yet been better than your meal that you served, you feel?
I mean, no. It'd be hard to beat that.
Do you remember what your bill was when you were hosting the Champions dinner? Is that true that you have to pay for everybody when you are the winner?
Yeah, and I did not remember, didn't care. I said, you charge me whatever you want, I'm happy to pay for it.
I love it. Okay, Dustin Johnson and his Live Golf Four Aces GM, Chris Rosanson, thank you guys so much for joining us, and best of luck this year.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
That's it for today. Drop us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe if you haven't already. We have some very fun interviews coming up. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.